Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, a.k.a. Lars Nootbaar.
I'm your permanent new co-host, Nick Repeat Adams.
Okay, so I just want to get right off at the top of the show. By the way, Jordan is on assignment this week. That's what they say. That's what they always say. And like when a baseball announcer is away, that they're on assignment, like they've gone to Kabul,
right,
to cover.
There's a 6'2" left-handed relief pitcher out of Kabul.
Nick Adams is here with us, and I just
contractually Nick Repeat Adams in my podcast appearances.
Okay, so I just wanted to get out of the way because it has been 6-8 weeks that the only form of correspondence that I have received is, "Hey Jesse, did you know there's a baseball player named Lars Nootbaar?" The answer to that is yes, I know there's a baseball player named Lars Nootbaar. Yes, I too celebrate that this man is named Lars Nootbaar. So we're all on the same page with Nootbaar.
That is, if you pitch that in a room, like there's a lot of things that happen in the world as a comedy writer, and you're just like, nope, that's bad. If you pitch that in a comedy room, people would go, Lars Nootbaar?
That's kind of sweaty.
Come on, that's kind of fucking on the nose. Lars Nootbaar, a real human being.
Nootbaar.
Yeah, you can have Lars or Nootbaar. You can't, Lars, come on, Jesus Christ. Nootbaar family, pick one. That's amazing.
Nick, are there basketball? I feel like there are not basketball players with good names. You're a basketball enthusiast.
Are you kidding? Like, are you kidding? Like,
there's like complicated Eastern European names, but they're just complicated. They're not like amusing.
Serge Ibaka.
It has a nice ring to it.
If you could go back in time and start your life over and be Serge Ibaka, what would you do?
I would want to be Yinka Dare.
Yinka Dare. Come on, basketball players have the best. Football players have the best.
Didn't know how to pass, Yinka
Dare. Football players have the best names.
Like, yeah, football players.
DeBrickashaw, Ferguson. Come on, we have to just bow down to that.
Yeah, there's a lot of rock solid. I mean, I think even with a football player with an unremarkable name, you will often learn that there's a couple extra vowels at the end.
Right. Yeah. Hyphen in there. Just throw it.
Yeah.
In.
Somebody's name's Smith. SM-ITH.
Yeah, I'll never forget my wife walking through and watching a football game and just, like, you know, seeing, I think it might have been DeBrickashaw, or it might have been, who was the quarterback for the Vikings when they had Randy Moss? Oh, my God.
I don't know. I'm thinking right now of Kentavious Caldwell Street.
Kentavious Caldwell Pope, Los Angeles Laker legend, KCP. Like, my wife would walk through and see a football player and be like, is that his real name? Like, yes, that's his real name. It's not a bit.
I celebrate it. I want to be clear that, like, I'm not against this. I'm not mocking this. I wish retrospectively that instead of giving my children the names of, I mean, let's be honest, like people who are eating crumpets, like clotted, my children all have the name of like a clotted cream enthusiast, which is fine.
But, as a white, you're hemmed in to that or just retro fucking bullshit Apple.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Like,
I mean, I could
have
named
two choices.
I could have named them all Kennesaw Mountain Landis Thorn.
Yeah, those are your options.
That was available to me in the hay bale wedding era when my children were born.
Oh, just drop a votive candle in a mason jar and just say I do. Why don't you?
I mean, Nick, you have a child named Coltrane. That's that is the African American equivalent of me naming my children Kennesaw Mountain Landis.
I think there's Miles. There's a lot of Miles's. Mm-hmm. And then every now and then you meet someone who's named their kid like Sphere, which is like Thelonious Monk's middle name or something. And you're like, okay, don't go too far. I love John Coltrane. It was like a no brainer. That was something that I decided to do when I was like 19 years old, and my wife was like, all right, idiot, like I'll go along with it.
Were you with your wife at 19, or was this?
No,
like
it was like a full.
This was
like
an unfunded mandate that you brought.
Is going to agree to this, and she was like, "Oh, just fucking dial it down, just relax."
You're like, "Honey, I've been carrying this piece of paper in my wallet for 15 years.
I wrote this down."
Okay, our guest on the program, she is one of the hosts of the smash hit podcast, Baby Geniuses. She has an overall deal over there at CBS.
Pay you in overalls. What a scam.
She is. And you know how you can tell, Nick, that she has an overall deal at CBS? She's joining us from what looks like her bedroom. And right next to her is one of those cork boards with 3x5 cards pinned into it.
Just ideas, just using money off of them.
These aren't just 3x5 cards. These are dry erase 3x5 cards.
Oh, my gosh. Now what a
ridiculous flex.
It's the best of both worlds. Corkboard, whiteboard combination. You can move it around like a corkboard. You can erase it like a whiteboard. This is what I've come on the show to talk about.
Capitalism has to be taken down.
Let's get writers into
have ridiculous gadgets.
Let's get into tape flags, Emily. Where do you stand on tape flags? Do you like the skinny kind or the wide kind?
What's a tape flag?
A tape flag is those little, like, color-coded post-it note dealies.
Oh, it's like a sticky and then colored at the, yes.
And then it flaps out so you can mark the pages in your middle school copy of Mice and Men.
Oh, yeah. I don't do that. If it's middle school, I'm not doing the reading or the homework.
Can I ask you guys an of Mice and Men question now that that subject has been brought up by me?
By you?
So in my family, we have been watching Looney Tunes because they're, you know, all the Looney Tunes are on HBO Max.
I hear they're back in action is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, they are back in action. I did watch Space Jam 2. Woof.
That's the official title. Space Jam 2, colon, woof.
Yeah. Space Jam 2, woof. Purchase this microphone just so I could go...
Yeah. A lot of that movie was really predicated on, like, they were so excited.
Guild Solidarity, shout out to my WGA writers who wrote the film.
Yeah. Oh, there's literally, I think, six credited screenwriters.
It's amazing.
I'm like, who else worked on this movie that's not in the credits? Mm-hmm. But anyway.
Jordan Farmar is a credited writer on Space Jam.
I think they had a big idea for Space Jam, which was that they figured out that LeBron James could say lines right, but then they didn't think of any other things. Mm-hmm. Like, they were like, well, we made a whole Space Jam with Michael Jordan who can't say his lines right.
Famously can't say
so
his lines.
So this will
right.
be a slam dunk.
They said, using a classic basketball metaphor. So anyway.
And cut LeBron check for $7 quadrillion.
So we have been watching Looney Tunes. And, you know, there is that of Mice and Men Lenny character who's in a few different Looney Tunes where he says, oh,
right,
hug him and I'll squeeze him.
Yeah.
And my daughter asked me about Of Mice and Men. she said, I said, you know, that character references a classic character from literature and he crushes a bunny because he loves it so much. And she says, well, what's the book? I said, Of Mice and Men. She said, what's it about? And I said, let's see. Well, there's that one guy who crushes the bunny because he loves it too much. I don't remember anything else about Of Mice and Men. Apparently, I read the entire book.
It's one of those things that for kids, like, you should just stop at the bunny. Because there's nothing after that. I've read it once.
I never read it. So I don't know. I literally only know the Looney Tunes excerpt.
He that same energy that he has for the bunny, he brings to a female human, if I remember correctly. Then Lenny, you know, the other guy's like, oh, snap, this has happened. This is not gonna end well for my friend. And they go out into a field and he like shoots him because he's like, I got it. But so it's like you really can't go in. Than the petting the bunny.
Can I say something about that? That shit's fucked up.
I don't know whose permission you were waiting for. I was like,
it's your show.
Can I say something about Space Jam, just circling back?
Yeah, please. Thank you.
I was at dinner the other night with a friend of mine from high school and someone who I would say was like not the most like pop culture tuned in person. And I casually mentioned something about Space Jam and she was eating and she stopped and she said, what is the Space Jam? just totally, totally stone faced.
Just to exist in the world.
What is the Space Jam? That is a really good question.
Well, every year in Zurich, 80,000 Europeans converge. They parade through the streets and then party all night. Steve Aoki is always there.
Yeah, he just lives in Zurich. Steve Aoki just is in Zurich in a chamber, and they just like take him out when they need him.
Every so often, he calls LA to see how his pizza restaurants are doing with all their ghost kitchens. Can I say, though, also, Space Jam, it came up in conversation because I was talking about what an enormous part of my, like, childhood sort of, like, understanding of pop culture was, because I had one of those, like, cool music teachers in middle school who was like, we're going to sing the songs that you guys like. And we did in our spring concert, I think, like, 5 different songs from the Space Jam soundtrack, including... the rap that Bugs Bunny does.
Wait, what level of instruction were you at here? Was this
got elementary? My girlfriend Lola. She's a fox. Ain't no bunny like the one I got. That's all. Oh, I remember, man. From that.
Well, yeah. Is this like? Hold on, principal. Listen, I would never expose all the students to this, but Emily, Constance, and a handful of these other—they really get it. And I think they would benefit. Like, yeah, was this like the head of the class that we were in?
No, it was the entire middle school was singing songs from Space Jam in front of their parents.
I have to say, full disclosure, this is one of those things that you find out in a writer's room, and you these discrepancies are like heightened, and you're just like, oh shit, I was a full grown adult when Space Jam came out. Like, I was a full. What the fuck is Michael Jordan doing? I don't care about that shit. I fully didn't care about Space Jam. I was an adult. Like,
you shouldn't have cared about. I think I
no,
was.
Of course not.
It was like 96, right?
Yeah,
96, 97, I think.
96 to 97 is when I was in sixth grade. So I was primed.
Yeah,
it was fully. It was the movie for me.
Yeah. You were super horny for Lola Bunny.
I was super horny for Lola Bunny.
I had never seen thighs like that before. This is before Pixar decided that every mom would have a dump truck ass. So Lola Bunny was the thickest. It was Lola and then like, what's her name?
There was Lola and there was Bugs in drag.
Yeah.
And
no,
that was it.
Listen, no comment on Bugs in drag. No comment.
Bugs and Drag was going for it.
They didn't have the courage to have LeBron fall in love with Lola. That would have sold the movie for me. Or you know what? Have LeBron fall in love with Bugs.
No, they always. They. I think they're going to do like the Harry Potter thing, which is like after the fact they'll say that like Bugs is gay. Like you know, that's what they do now. Like once the movie and the franchise is over, then they announce it. That character was like bi-curious. And, you know, just floated out there.
Yeah. It's weird with a character like Bugs, though, because you're like, is the franchise over? Is it ever going to be over? Bugs is sort of an eternal being, but right. He's also sort of like a spirit.
Yeah. Like, also, can Bugs... I mean, I'm not going to...
Bugs wants to fuck comedy. Bugs is just only horny for comedy.
This is my question about Bugs functionally, and I don't mean to be vulgar here, but can Bugs inseminate?
I mean, we're talking about a rabbit, right?
Right. It's like that's like their whole deal.
It's their whole deal.
Besides getting crushed by Lenny.
But so you think he's like, what, like impotent? What? I don't understand your question.
I guess what I'm asking is, so obviously Bugs gets out there, right?
Right.
Just in general.
I think Bugs toxic
again. I mean, something is happening when he's underground and that like dirt is coming up on his way to like Albuquerque or whatever.
That's not just burrowing. You don't make much commotion burrowing.
Dude, do you think it's possible Bugs has a secret
pants.
Family
no
in Albuquerque?
Pants. Daffy has the fucking courtesy, right?
I think this is the part where it gets caught for me. Mm-hmm. I know that Bugs can pull chicks, right? Like, I know
why?
That if...
Why? We've never seen him.
Because...
I guess aside from Lola.
Because he has... He has a certain something. He's
theoretically
got his...
Bugs has rap, but we've never seen it in play.
We haven't, yeah. I mean, I think I, as a child, maybe not as a child, maybe just as an adult, I'm not going to project this kind of sophistication onto me as a child. Me as an adult, I'm a little off put by how unafraid he is of death.
Okay.
He is just like fair. Staring Elmer Fudd in the face, and I'm shotgun. Like, that dude has a gun. What are you doing?
Is that something that you're looking for in a partner?
Absolutely not. I know too much about myself at this point to know that I'm not comfortable with that level of risk.
I watched on Reddit the other day. I was
love how this is starting.
Yes.
Hope nobody dies. Really hope nobody dies.
Yeah, it was on /r/ Faces of Death. I was on Reddit on a Reddit that's just what's it called? Better Every Loop. It's called. So it's just like little GIFs. Just a little thing happens. Yeah, it's great. It's great. You know, it's just like there's also this other one where dads catch babies falling.
Right, yeah.
In remarkable ways. But the Better Every Loop, you know, it's just like, here's butter and sugar turning into frosting or something. And it looks cool. Or, you know, a crazy athletic feat. And the other day, someone posted a picture of a parkour guy running from one rooftop, jumping off the rooftop, landing on another rooftop, and then doing some tricks, like as he landed and flipped up into the air. And as I was watching that, I think I realized that I am old. Because all I could think watching this amazing feat was, like, fuck you, man. Like, don't put me through that. I don't want to see you almost fall to your death. That's not of interest to me. It made me so mad. And he did it. He was fine. Obviously, they're not going to post snuff GIFs on Better Every Loop. That would get progressively worse every loop as it re-traumatized you.
It's always dudes in like Paris and Amsterdam with like free healthcare. Like, oh, I'm going to jump off this building. If I fracture my ankle, the state pays for it. Like, it's always those guys.
Nick, you're a socialist. Is that the America you want? Just people jumping from rooftop to rooftop?
Where like they're right now, fully at everybody's job, there's three dudes. That everyone's like, they fucking suck at it. They don't want to be here. The company's worse off because they're here. If they could just be downtown LA jumping off buildings right now, the whole workforce would be better. If we could just pay those guys to just like run around and jump off the pier.
and do parkour.
Get out of the workforce and let somebody else have this job. Nick, Josh, go do parkour in Culver City.
I feel like there might be some other options between like taking work.
Not all of them, Emily. Not all of them.
And parkour.
Not all of them. Oh my God, there's a fucking dog on a ramp with like a cone behind you, and it's like a Wes Anderson film is happening right now. Is that how Wes Anderson films work? Just white people are just living in Wes Anderson movies and we don't know it.
Emily's dog really truly, speaking of parkour,
he did not parkour, by the way. He walked up a handicap.
He walked
ramp
gingerly up a, I will say,
incredibly gingerly.
Way too expensive ramp.
Well, Emily, your ramp, okay, so I'm gonna tell our listeners what happened. So behind Emily is either a bed or a pull-out sofa of some kind.
It's a day bed, but it's a full-size day bed.
There you go. Full-size day bed. Yeah. On that is a dog bed. On top of that is a dog bed or a pet bed. And in the foreground, I know, Nick, I can't speak for you. I did not notice this item in the foreground until just now.
The poof? Is that what you're describing?
No. Oh, I noticed the poof. Yeah. I think the poof was distracting me from the foreground, which is the the ramp.
It's been here the whole time.
The ramp is what I can only describe as cruise ship quality. Yeah. This is a
not
full,
a full wheelchair.
Plank.
A small wheelchair could use that ramp. A small wheelchair. Yeah. Not a full
and,
size.
And Emily's dog not only went up this ramp in like perfect 45 degree symmetry in her composition of her zoom shot, but this dog went up the ramp wearing a cone and doing that. It truly
the
was.
The timing of it was fully 3-2 cue dog. It was incredible.
Oh, man. He is.
He's exhausted. Look at him.
And then he fell asleep, not on the giant dog bed.
Immediately fell asleep.
He refuses,
next to the dog bed.
I got him like the most like luxurious, furry, huge, like pillowy dog bed to put on my day bed so that he wouldn't just climb on the human pillows. And he refuses to use it.
You got him a full-on Cruella de Vil hat there.
So also, can I explain the cone and the ramp? Or do you want it to just be a mystery?
You're just making a particularly unusual Faces of Death gif.
He had surgery on his like hind leg. He had to have like his knee got dislocated and he tore his like the dog version of an ACL.
Mm. My dog tore her meniscus. So we both of our dogs have had football career-ending injuries.
He's quite an athlete, as anyone who follows me online knows. And so we're under strict orders not to let him jump or run. Like, he's supposed to be on crate rest. We can't crate him because he'll, like, panic and slam his body against the crate and it'll be worse than before. So we have been, like, locking him in the hallway, which makes him just, like, whine and scream and bark at us. And in order to keep him from jumping, I have installed ramps at all his favorite places because I'm terrified that he's going to re-injure himself. And this particular ramp, it's from Doggo Ramps. And
wow, just plugging the ramp. Yeah, trying to get a few extra free ramps, huh?
I mean, I would love to get some retroactive reimbursement for plugging Doggo Ramps on this someone else's podcast.
One time in middle school, we had an assignment that we had to write a letter of compliment. And Lauren Keene had been a nationally ranked gymnast. It's my classmate, Lauren Keene. You guys know Lauren. Lauren Keene had been a nationally ranked.
Oh, Lauren Kay.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, you're not, not Lauren N. That's Lauren Newtbar. Lauren Keene had been a nationally ranked junior gymnast, but she broke her ankle too many times and was no longer able to gym-in. She was expected to wear an air cast possibly for the rest of her life on her ankle because it's one of those things where every time you break it with ankles, it weakens it instead of strengthening it because there's all these ligaments and cartilages in there. It's not just
it's not
you know,
like one of those
arm.
Bones where you break it and it gets stronger. Like
yeah, exactly. Like what happened to Daredevil. That's how Daredevil got his powers. And Lauren Keene wrote a letter to Aircast Incorporated, the company that made the cast that she kept on her ankle. And they were so excited that they gave her a lifetime supply of Aircasts because she would have to live with this disability for the rest of her life.
So three Aircasts. So what are we talking about? Like, yeah. What does that mean? Lifetime supply. 5, 7?
Casual, formal, and beach? Is that the three?
Okay.
You gotta have a flesh-colored one for bikini season.
Yeah, and one for special occasions.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like a formal cast. Yeah.
Black tie, white tie.
There was a period of time where Steph Curry, who is, you know, modern NBA players, it probably goes LeBron, Kobe, Steph, in terms of just like appeal, impact, whatever. There was the whole thing was like, Golden State should get rid of this guy. Weak ankles. That was it. Yeah. Like he had weak ankles and he would like constantly hurt his ankles. And everyone was like, I don't know about this little guy. 6'3", by the way. This little guy, his ankles. And you're just like, is that the issue? Steph Curry. That was a legit question, concern. For years,
but
we should trade him and get some value for him because he's got these weak ankles.
But he's like one of the best.
He's one of the best basketball.
Truly extraordinary.
Of all time.
But it does show you that many of the world's greatest athletes have parts of their bodies so broken that they are essentially a cyborg.
Yeah, they're all like, they're all
Steph Curry.
Really,
like it's not like the rap on Steph Curry was that he had weak ankles, but actually he didn't have weak ankles.
He did have weak ankles.
He truly like you would see him in his shoes, and you're like, that man has a wrap around his feet and lower
and
leg.
A brace.
That is like what the ski patrol would do to you if you broke every bone in your lower body plummeting down a double black diamond.
Yeah. They're truly built to do their sport. Have you ever read the thing about Michael Phelps and his body and how like he's like genetically predisposed to all this shit? Like,
yeah, he's got some like mutations or something, right?
He can process like something like more oxygen than we can. But then also like if you look at like if you think of his foot, and like you can, you know, flex your foot forward and pull it back a little bit. He can pull his feet so far back that his toes, if this is your leg, your lower leg,
your
and these are
your
toes,
yeah.
He can like pull his toes this far back that way.
And like almost, so his fingers can almost like reach back and touch his forearm.
So he has, his hands and feet are fucking flippers in the water. Yeah. Like you are born to do this, Michael Phelps. You have this long Weasley torso. You're slipping through the water and you have flippers. Like you were born to do this. You're like a metahuman.
There was some point in elementary school when a teacher or a coach took his mother aside and said, your son has the long, weaselly torso of a champion swimmer.
You got to get him out of here. You got to get him out of here and get him into the
but
world.
I mean,
slither around.
Not, I would say it's not just professional athletes who have that. I mean, just as...
Oh, no.
Just as champion swimmer Michael Phelps has that extraordinary ability to process oxygen in his breath... Comedy writer Nick Adams has the same thing with marijuana.
Listen, to stay upright, to stay functional, to process story. Mm-hmm. Also, don't cut Michael Phelps short because he can do that as well.
That Michael guy can Phelps plays trees.
Michael Phelps is a dual threat athlete.
This guy's got flipping and ganj.
Yeah. Massive.
Classic flipping ganj there.
Massive rips for Phelps.
Emily, I need to ask you a really serious question.
Yeah.
I enjoy following Emily Heller's Instagram. Occasionally, there will be a smash hit viral post about a clever outfit that she's worn to the Emmys. That's a lot of fun. And look, every time I look at this and I say, look at this clever outfit that my friend Emily wore to the Emmys, this is a home run. So I'm not here to put down the clever outfits you wear to the Emmys that are on your Instagram feed that probably draw many to your Instagram feed. But for me, at the center of the appeal of the Emily Heller Instagram feed is clothes your dad made for you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. My dad has become like a virtuosic seamster. I don't know what the male term
is. I love Seamster. The Seamsters Union.
Seamsters. Clothes.
Aren't they the ones who bring the light standards in and out of television and film sets?
Are they the ones with the fez hats?
And the tiny cars. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you want to follow my dad on Instagram, he's at A Real Heller. But so my dad is, you know, descended from a long line of like Jewish tailors. Like it's a family thing that he had just, and he used to be a woodworker. Like he's really good at like building things. And this has just been one of his like retirement hobbies that he picked up and got really good at right away. And one of the things that I think has been so fascinating about it for me is just seeing like, this is like a, you know, he's like a boomer 70-something guy who normally wears like t-shirts and jeans. The clothes he's making for himself when he's like, the stores won't sell me what I want, is so much further out there than I would have expected. Like he's making himself like sort of like kimono jackets and just...
The 70s and the 80s were fucking wild. They were wild.
Yeah, this guy's got on whatever like Rob Lowe wore to a club. But a club in Osaka or some shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of like sort of aloha shirts, but with like very surprising patterns. He mixes patterns a lot. He's very bold and brave. And honestly, like, I have commissioned several garments from him, and I would say he's usually trying to get me to make them more experimental.
There's nothing that a middle-aged or older man loves more than a Hawaiian shirt, but it's not flowers. It's like hot sauce. You know what I mean? They love to yes. take it and flip it's it a little bit.
Arizona Diamondbacks logos.
He did one with like koi fish he's really into, and he did really good pattern matching. Yep. I'm pulling it up right now.
Emily, how much Steely Dan does your father listen to? Just like 1 to 10, 10 being like crazy, too much Dan, chill, you know, bro, dollar bag.
We never listened to Steely Dan growing up. It was like James Taylor, Indigo Girls, Grateful yeah. Dead. Last time I saw him, we're in the area.
But these are Berkeley's Steely Dans.
Yeah.
Yes.
So wait, can you see this shirt that he's wearing?
Yeah. It's two oh my God, I love the sleeves. The sleeves.
Two different patterns of cheetah print.
Yeah.
He's contrasting.
I fuck with that.
I mean, last time I saw him, we had a masked outdoor hang, and he was wearing a mask that had the Grateful Dead logo, and it said, "Make America Grateful Again."
Yeah, I'm with it.
So I feel like I've painted quite a picture.
I absolutely want to smoke out with your father. 100% want to get out with him and his dad.
The theme of your father's work, and I've enjoyed seeing so much of it on your Instagram, not just shirts, but also vests. The theme of your father's work is like things a lady would wear in 1992 if she was a Berkeley Performances subscriber.
Yes.
This is a person who is going to see Art Garfunkel performing at Zellerbach Hall in Berkeley in a UC Berkeley sponsored arts series performance. But it is a lady, and she's wearing chunky jewelry.
Yes.
Emily is just showing
us
pictures. I'm
just holding up my phone to my computer screen.
They're all amazing. These shirts are amazing.
They're amazing. And he's starting to think about taking commissions. Go, mm-hmm. Please encourage him. He's starting to make some bags and stuff, and he's thinking about how to do it. But it really is like he just really likes making stuff for people he loves. But the most recent thing, well, I guess he did just make me a leopard print shirt that I asked for. But the thing he made me before that was I commissioned him to make me a version of the Seinfeld jacket where it's brown on the outside and on the inside it's pink and white stripe lining.
Yeah.
So you can take it off. And he sent it to me and it didn't show up. And we were both, like, losing our minds. Like, it...
You know who fucking took it, Emily?
Newman.
Yeah, fucking Newman.
Fucking Newman. Because the USPS said that it had been delivered, and it hadn't been delivered. And I wrote out, like, 15 cards to anyone in my neighborhood whose address was even a little bit like mine, being like, please, if you've seen
this
jacket.
That shit happens so much.
I need this so much. And then I eventually posted on Twitter about it, being like, here's the pictures that he took before he sent it to me. If you see anyone wearing this jacket, steal it and give it back to me, please. And some incredibly cool postal worker went rogue and like went into the system and was like, I can find you the exact GPS of where it was dropped off. And it was dropped off at a mattress store near my house. And I called them and they had it. And they were like, they asked me like, what's the name? And I said, it was Emily Heller. And they were like, yeah, I think we have it. Yeah. And I went and showed up and got it. And I was like, thank you so much. Oh my God. And I picked it up and it said like it was addressed to Emmy Fun Fun, which is like my nickname from my dad. And I was like, I can't believe the guy at the mattress store did not give me a hard time about this.
I mean, it explains why the guy at the mattress store didn't just Google the name and come up with famous comedian Emily Heller. Yeah. I like to think, I imagined immediately that they were checking on the name because they had received multiple Seinfeld jackets addressed to different people. They wanted to get you the right one because the other package had one of those 8-ball jackets that Putty wears. I think your dad really has a future in this. I would love to see you introduce your father to the Japanese aesthetic called hobo style.
Okay.
I think your dad could do a lot with this. I say show him some capital lookbooks.
Okay.
check out some crazy hats. Check out a few like half jackets where half the jacket is there and half of it isn't.
Okay.
I think your dad could do a lot with that particular look.
As a man of a certain age, your dad is also capitalizing on what happens when you get older, is that if the husband comes out of the bathroom or the bedroom and he is dressed to go out and the wife is like, well, shit, he did something. Okay, here we go. You know what I mean? Like, he had a plan. I don't necessarily love it. He made a choice. He tried. He put effort and thought into it. And this is what we're going with tonight. Okay.
Nick, okay, I have to tell you, your idea of what my mom's reaction would be, it could not be more wrong. My mom is not more conventional than my dad in how she dresses.
Oh, so he doesn't go far enough?
No, she loves it, and she thinks it's great, but she's never going to be like, that's weird.
Wow.
Nick, yeah. The thing
love.
That you're...
That's love, what they have. I think what you're describing is true love, what they have.
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, they're both fucking Bay Area hippies. They met at a BART station because my dad was juggling. If that tells you anything.
Do you know about... how confident you have to be as a juggler to fucking do Nick, it at a BART station?
We should explain that Emily's dad is Mystery from The Game.
Oh, me? What am I doing? Juggling. What's it to you?
That truly is hanging out at the BART station juggling is the Berkeley version of The Game.
Yes. Like, oh, that this? Is he was,
I don't see what the big deal is.
He was in a pickup club or whatever it is that they do in that. And listen, he and his buddies were talking about what would attract babes. How
did
they could...
he have the bowling pin hair?
He was club juggling, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say he was either club juggling or he had to have had like five balls or something.
Yeah. He was either club juggling. He was definitely in a juggling club.
Here's the thing.
Was he club juggling?
He was not juggling in order to meet women. If anything, meeting my mom derailed what would have been a juggling career because he was
gotta focus on the clubs.
He was planning on enrolling in the Ringling Brothers Clown School when he met my mom, and then he decided not to.
Too bomb. It was too bomb. He was like, I can't with these clowns anymore, man.
Emily, did your family car as a kid have like a lot of bumper stickers on it?
Oh, you mean like that say like I break for butterflies?
Yes, this is the category.
This is the Joshua Tree section of our car. This section is reserved for just Joshua Tree bumper stickers.
Visualize world peace.
I'm going to give you, Jesse, one guess as to what kind of car our family car was.
Subaru, baby.
Well, I mean, Subaru. My first thought is Escalade, but I'm gonna go with a Volvo wagon.
Ding, ding, ding. You have hit the nail on the head. It was a Volvo station wagon. It was a gold Volvo station wagon.
Would you guys like for us to pre-age this Volvo? We can make your Volvo look like it's about 7 years older than it really is. Okay, excellent. Yeah. Actually, we'll do that.
We just leave it outside in Sweden for a while.
Yeah.
And Emily, I have a picture already in my head of your parents in the Volvo. You're in the backwards facing rear seats.
Of course.
They're dropping you off at Rasputin's. buying some records, buying the latest Spearhead.
I think we would go, because we lived in Alameda, we would go to the warehouse, actually.
Oh, thank you.
Where? The warehouse.
Now we're in business.
We did
now
have in the back of our Volvo station wagon, my dad had got one of those like fake human legs that you close in the door of a car.
Where did I love you get that? Every single thing you say about your father makes me want to hang out with him more and more.
He picked that up at the clown school application center.
I'm like, people wonder who goes to Spencer's Gifts. It was my dad, I think. Fake vomit he had, like, all that kind of shit. And, yeah, so we would close it on there, and then I would sit in the back seat. Me and my brother would sit in the back seat, and, like, we would be on the freeway with the leg hanging out the back, and my brother would be acting like his leg was stuck in the car. People would be, like, freaking out in the cars behind us.
Is this what drove you to become a comedian? Not that there was so much humor going on in your house, but that you were scarred by your shame.
I gotta show this fucking guy how it's really done. I gotta take it up a notch.
Your mortification drove you to humor.
Jesus Christ.
Think what really happened is what I became a comedian because I was raised in a household without enough shame. Shame was not something that we exchanged in our household. I never had it. I still don't.
You could have used just a soupçon of Catholicism. Just a little sprinkle dinkle on top.
Yeah.
You're a hair away from being just a really funny marketing executive.
Exactly. I could have really had my shit together at some point. But no one ever taught me that I'm supposed to hold in my farts.
Hey, don't say that shit out loud. What? No, people laugh when I say it. It doesn't matter. Then they go home and talk about how weird you are. Don't say that shit out loud.
Yeah, I didn't learn that until I was like 31.
Is there anyone in your family who's not on board for this? Like, it sounds like your mom is on board for this. Were your siblings all
on board
in?
For what? Like
this nonsense that was happening in your home.
Love, Jesse? Is that what you love? Is that what you're talking about?
I don't know. I'm not familiar with that, Nick. I'm not familiar.
There's no one in my immediate family who's not a stone cold freak.
What about the extended family? What happens when you go to a family wedding or a funeral?
No, I mean, I think like, so the rest of our family's pretty weird. No, I mean, they're normal. I don't know. They don't care. I do think we are the weird ones at most of the like larger family functions that we go to, but not by a lot.
Yeah. My extended family are so normal. They're very bright. They're really good folks who definitely have, they're much more on top of family than either part of my family, either my father or my mother, who were, you know, divorced when I was very young. Like, you know, my aunt Deb was married to my uncle Wayne from when they were in high school till the day he passed. May he rest in peace. Wonderful man, my uncle Wayne. And, you know, my aunt Deb is a real estate agent who specializes in life transitions. That's wow. Like, she helps old people move into retirement homes and sell their house. And she's wonderful. She's absolutely wonderful. But all of them are so normal. And they treat me with a sort of fond tolerance. I think the fact that I'm more normal and together than either of my parents
helps.
That helps. But like my cousin on my dad's side, who is a contractor, or my other cousin, who is a physical therapist in Orange County, Southern Orange County.
Yikes.
Like they're so nice and so regular. And when I come to visit, they smile very sincerely at me. I can see in their heads this like, well, there's Jesse. He's doing his thing, whatever that is. You know?
Can I tell you something? One of my cousins was here visiting, and then it was a cousin who had moved out here, and he was in Oxnard, and then his brother-in-law's like close friend from Maryland were out here, and we were hanging out, and one of them turns to me, this was years ago, and one of them turns to me, and he goes, "Hey, what do people do here?" And, you know, they were visiting. They were kind of on a vacation, and I was, you know, in between jobs or whatever, and we were walking around, hanging out. I think we smoked out, and we went to the farmer's market. We're goofing around. And I think when people come here and they see the industry or showbiz or Hollywood or whatever, and they're just like, "What the fuck? How does this work?" And you're like, "Are you making money?" "Not really right now." And they're like, "But yeah, but you're hanging out and doing stuff." And then you start to make money and you explain your job. And they're like, "I don't understand how this works. What is a producer? What is a podcast? How does that make money?" "Well, see, it's hard." Like, they don't, it's not real to them. You're a nurse. You're a school teacher. you do marketing. You know what I mean? Like, these are defined jobs. I'm pharmacy tech. But then you start saying all these things that we talk about, and they're just like, I don't know what the fuck. Is that real? Is Jesse, does say, Jesse have secret money that we don't know about?
Like, you just say you're a union man.
Yeah. Like, it doesn't, it's not real to them.
My Aunt Deb, who's just the greatest, she is like a comedy nerd. If a 72-year-old woman who sells real estate for a living to other baby boomers could be a comedy nerd, like, she's like a comedy nerd of things on CBS.
Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think anything I had ever done in my career had made an impact. Like, she thought my career was neat. You know what I mean? Like, she was generally supportive. It's not like she was ever against it. But, you know, they don't, like, come to my shows.
Yeah.
When I'm in Washington, D.C., where they live, they're like, oh, we're in Northern Virginia. It's a 20-minute drive.
Live comedy for a non-famous person?
Yeah. I'm on the Dave Cause smooth jazz cruise right now. I can't come. But the first thing that, I mean, my Aunt Deb is genuinely funny, and she's very bright and interesting and awesome. But the first thing that, and I think to this day, the only thing that has ever made an impact about my career with her is that I met Terry Crews. Like, me meeting Terry Crews, it's as though I said to her that I met the Pope. And I was like, Deb, do you watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine? And she's like, it's my favorite show. And I'm like, you know what? Good pick. Good pick.
All right.
If you're, look, you could have told me Big Bang Theory was your favorite show. No offense to all the great people that work on there. A special salute to John Ross Bowie. But, like,
it's time for a special salute to John Ross Bowie, our regular segment on Jordan Jesse Go.
Did you know he's a playwright? So but besides that, I'm basically like, you know how sometimes, do you remember where you were the first time you found out that there was, like, chickens that looked all crazy? You know what I mean?
Like, the genetically modified, like, their breasts are too big for them to walk.
Crazy.
Like,
no, not
just
the kind
that didn't look like they were from a kid's book. Like, that weren't just, like, white with the, like, perfect little red.
Oh, exactly. Right. Not
like ones that have, like real messed up, weird feathers.
Rhode Island
ones
red,
with crazy feathers.
Like, nobody eats that ridiculous bird. Get
and you're like, look at that thing. And you think it's pretty neat. You think it's cool, but you don't understand it. You're like, it's still a chicken, right? Or is it a different kind of bird? That is basically how my family feels about my humanity. They're basically like, huh, look at Jesse. He's still a person, right? Or is he a different
thing? I didn't
know
people came like that.
It is, for 99% of America, a totally random thing, though.
Yeah.
What do you do? Where do you work? I work at the hospital. Yeah. I work at the university. I work, I go here and I do the job. What do? I have these shows, and then sometimes I do stand up, and then sometimes I write for shows. And, like, motherfucker, that's the most chaotic, crazy sounding shit. I'll tell you a story real quick. I was working on a show called Perfect Couples, a mid-season replacement on NBC. They were like, we're going to launch the premiere early. I emailed everybody, Facebook, whatever. And then something happened, and the timing got off, and they showed it at the wrong time, whatever. My stepdad, who's born and raised in Harlem, New York, was like, hey, man, I set the DVR to record your show, but it wasn't on. Instead, NBC aired some shit called The Office. I was like, yeah, James, it's The Office, massively successful scripted comedy. He was talking about it as if he
just turned to the camera and raised one eyebrow.
Yeah, exactly. He was talking about it as if it was completely new to him. And you're just like, people
as if he was like, what is the Space Jam?
Yeah, what is the Space Jam?
My immediate family has that relationship with all media, especially my mom. Like, my dad had some understanding of the world around him. My mother lives in a world where the things that people know about are, like, Baudrillard and then, like, Parliament. Like, those are, like, the things that my mom knows
about. Which Parliament,
though? Parliament.
Not Funkadelic.
No, that one. Parliament and the Mothership. The Mothership is what, like, my mom will tell
British
me
Parliament,
about.
She knows fuck all about.
No, absolutely not. Although she has become interested in royal weddings in her dotage.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
She got cable TV and became interested in royal weddings. But yeah, like my mom will tell you all about Gary Scheider from Parliament, but she truly does, like, my mom is friendly with Boots Riley of the Coup. But my mom 100% has never heard of the Big Bang Theory. 100%.
Huh. It's so fascinating to me because at a certain point, for one, your parents become like your kids, or your in-laws become like your kids, and you have to explain everything to them, and they just don't know things that they should know, just like basic stuff. You're like, how the fuck do you not know that? But what happens as an adult at a certain age, your brain goes, okay, here's the deal. I can remember about 70% of this shit. Wait, what do you mean? All of it. All of the stuff that I've ever heard in my entire life, I can keep 70% of it in my brain, and it's an arbitrary number that just is gone, and you're going to have to remind me every time. Like, I'm too old. I have
that
too
is
many
a,
things.
That is
too
a much things. Higher number than my number.
Yeah.
My number is so much lower. 70%?
Yeah.
That is
30
wild.
30 seems strong. Yeah, the flip side of that seems generous.
My yeah. Too many things in my brain. Something
Can
has
I say,
to give.
I want to make sure that I tell this story while I'm on this episode, while we're thinking of stuff we remember. Because one of the things that's been happening over the pandemic is I've been, like, reconnecting with a lot of people. And a lot of times what happens is, like, we will end up reminiscing about something, and one of us will tell a story that the other one just absolutely does not remember. And I realized I remember, like, one story about every person that I know. And Nick, the story
which you've been telling in your mind for years, yeah. Probably.
Nick, the story I remember about you was when we used to work together on a TV show, and we had an incredibly sensual experience with a whiteboard together.
Oh my God.
Do you remember this?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
So we worked on the show and we had this whiteboard that was so shitty. It was like you had to spray it down with so much cleaning fluid to erase anything. And we were like, this, we made them get us a new whiteboard because we were like, this isn't a functional whiteboard.
It has lost its essential gloss.
And it was brand new, so we didn't understand why it wasn't working.
They bought Office Depot
and
brand.
Then 2 weeks before the show wrapped, maybe 1 week.
It was a week. It was 1 week.
It was 1 week. We had 1 week left at this fucking job. And someone was just, like, looking at it and poking it with their finger. And they were like, oh, we didn't take the film off it.
Right. I was like, oh, fuck. Like, in the very corner. It was not obvious in our defense. It was, like, in the very corner. I was like, is that? Because it looks like a little, and I just pulled it, and the whole thing just came off.
Well, you and I took opposite sides, and you and I both peeled off slowly and satisfyingly this giant sheet of plastic that had been covering this whiteboard for 4 months or whatever. And I remember you said something like, you play acted, you were like telling your wife about what happened between you and me. You were like, something happened at work today that just made me feel some weird stuff.
Yeah, it's like the most satisfying thing I've ever done with a woman.
It was incredibly
not my
sensual.
Wife. It was great. It was great. Just like the smoothness that it came off with.
Oh my God.
And you know that thing of like, is this happening? Oh yeah, it's happening.
It's happening. It's coming off in one piece.
Yeah.
It came off in one piece.
You look at the showrunner, you're like, can I eat lunch at home today? I have to change my pants. My Aunt Debbie, my aforementioned Aunt Debbie, the one thing that I remember
about... I'm sorry, do you mean Aunt Deb?
Yeah, sorry. Okay. She goes by Debbie now. Okay. She's gotten older.
As this podcast has gone along?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But my aunt, I had this one sort of story memory with her, which was that when I visited her as like a 17-year-old, stayed at their house in Northern Virginia, she had recommended that I would really like this one show she liked on the Game Show Network. And I remember just thinking, Jesus fucking Christ, Aunt Deb, do you really think that I want to watch the fucking Game Show Network. Like, no offense, but I am a sophisticated... I watch Larry Sanders on bootleg VHS tapes, and you want me to watch some shit.
Also The Practice, but I mean, yeah. I don't love it. It's just like, it's comforting.
Yeah. So then, about 8 years later, I went there, and I hadn't seen her in quite a while, and I pulled her aside, and I said... Deb, I got to tell you something. She said, what's that, Jesse? And I said, I just want you to know that when I was here in 1998 or whatever, you recommended a show to me and I kind of laughed and I was probably like kind of dismissive. And I feel really bad about that now. And she said, oh, really? And I said, you said it was a really funny show. And I was like, inside my head, I was like, it's on the Game Show Network, whatever. But now I realize that National Lampoon's Funny Money was hosted by Jimmy Pardo. And oh. Jimmy Pardo is my friend now. And what was great about it was she was so unimpressed that I was friends with Jimmy Pardo. I'm like, come on. This has been digging a hole inside my soul for 10 years that I did this mean thing. And I really thought that the prestige was going to be when I say, look at my phone contacts. I can text Jimmy Pardo anytime I want. And she truly didn't care.
Do you want a cameo from Jimmy Pardo?
You know what?
Okay,
Her indifference was her revenge.
Yeah, I know. She took me down 17 time. Pegs.
Here comes fucking Jesse. Oh, I know what he's going to talk about. Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah, here it is. Now he's going to genuflect and apologize. Fuck you, Jesse.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Brian Fernandez, Sonny D.
Brian, you know this.
Mm-hmm.
Every episode of Jordan Jesse Go brought to our listeners by our listeners, folks who've gone to MaximumFun.org/join and become members of Maximum Fun. It's a membership organization like the Shriners.
Yeah, I do know that. It's great.
We use all the money to build children's hospitals also.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite parts.
Yeah.
And the hats. We got great hats.
That's why you've worked here for so long. Yeah. We're also brought to you this week by the good people at Magic Spoon. Brian, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
You know what I ate for breakfast this morning?
A Magic Spoon?
No, potato salad. But yesterday,
okay.
Yesterday, I ate Magic Spoon for breakfast. And most days, it's just that I was out of milk this morning. So I looked in my fridge and I was like, potato salad, that's probably a breakfast, right?
Yeah.
And I did really eat some potato salad for breakfast today. But yesterday and the day before and the day before that, I ate Magic Spoon that I bought with my own money, Brian, with my own money. Yeah. I like the peanut butter flavor best.
Did you use our promo code?
My wife buys it, and I think she doesn't use the promo code. Oh. We've covered this on the show before. I think that she doesn't use the promo code, and I don't get credit for my own purchases of Magic Spoon that I'm actually personally eating. Magic Spoon, 0 grams of sugar, 13 or 14 grams of protein, 140 calories, 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. The amount of flavor that they get out of a bowl of no cereal cereal, that is cereal without grains in it, is pretty extraordinary. It is really tasty stuff. And when you're like, oh, no sugar in this, like a very appropriate amount of calories as part of my balanced breakfast, and it's like enough protein to stick to your ribs. It is a really miracle of modern science is the only way I can describe it.
I grew up on like all sugar cereal, like just exclusively eating sugar, like really sugary cereal. And I can't
believe
it.
Brian? It's not, I don't believe you.
Yeah, you would have never guessed that, right?
Knowing what I know about your family, I never would have guessed.
You know, but somehow I feel like this is like a magic, like it says magic, it's Magic Spoon, but it feels like a magic trick every time you eat it. Because it's like, I don't understand how they recreated the sugary cereal of my youth, but it's not bad for you.
Yeah, it's pretty great stuff. And like even me, like I'm not really into sweet cereal. That's why I like that peanut butter flavor. Yeah, but yeah. even the frosted flavor, which is, you know, sort of like the frosted cereals of your childhood. Mm-hmm. There's a few different kinds. That's really nice too. And that's one of the kinds of sweet cereal I do like. Anyway, go to magicspoon.com/JJGO to try it today. Be sure to use our promo code JJGO at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember, get your next delicious bowl of cereal at magicspoon.com/JJGO and use the code JJGO to save $5 off. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode. And now from cereal to balls, the classic Jordan Jesse Go transition. We're also this week brought to you by the good folks at Manscaped. You know, are your balls out of control?
Always.
Well, then, if your balls are like Burt Reynolds' chest, Manscaped has a product for you. Did you hear all this stuff about how celebrities don't bathe?
Yeah.
You know about this?
Yeah, geez. Right.
Yeah. So, look, I'm not saying that Ashton Kutcher's children should be using the Manscaped ball spray, the toner for your balls.
Right. Which is nice.
Ball deodorant, which is nice. It gives you a refreshing feeling in your undercarriage. I'm just saying that if they did bathe, they could top it off with a little trimmeroo.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they could pick up Ashton Kutcher could get himself the Performance Package 4.0.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about the lawnmower trimmer, the Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer. I just used that today. True story.
That's great.
I used it to stir up my potato salad. the Crop Preserver ball deodorant, because you know Ashton got stank balls. the toner, the boxer briefs, the travel bag. All of that extraordinary stuff. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code JJGO at manscaped.com. That's 20% off free shipping with the code JJGO at manscaped.com. For a clean trinity and beyond, your space balls will thank you. Ashton Kutcher doesn't really need the 20% off because he's got that money from that 400 episode Netflix show that no one's ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
With Sam Elliott,
or
it's Ashton Kutcher,
Sam Elliott.
Sam Elliott.
Yep.
Is that Angela Lansbury? What is going on in this show? Tyler Perry plays the neighbor. Doesn't have a producer credit or anything. He's just the neighbor on it.
He's only the actor.
20% off and free shipping with the code JJGO at manscaped.com. It's what Angela Lansbury would want for you.
Yeah.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Permanent and forever co-host Nick Repeat Adams.
And I'm your guest, Emily Hellbone Heller.
We should explain that Jordan's body is decomposing in a vat of lye underneath Nick's house right now.
He's currently in the city of Commerce. In unincorporated Commerce is where Jordan is.
You've called one of those sheriff's gangs to take care of him.
Banditos.
Unincorporated Los Angeles run by sheriff's gangs.
Google LASD gangs.
Yes. Please. Google that.
Thank
shit.
Thank you. When something momentous happens to you, like legendary podcast guest co-host Nick Adams tosses you in a vat of lye in his basement and becomes a permanent podcast co-host, we ask you to call us at 206-984-4FUN or just send us an email with a voicemail attached to it. Wait, voice memo is the word I'm looking for. jjgo@maximumfun.org. Now, I'm not going to lie to you guys. You know that gif of Jordan Peele from Key and Peele where he's like making a face and the sweat is running down his head in like sheets.
Famous award-winning film director Jordan Peele. Is that who you're referring to?
Exactly. That's what Brian, our producer, looks like right now as he worries about whether he can both respond to comments on Facebook at the live stream and pull up the clips on his phone. Like, peek behind the curtain. We have not yet figured out how to send audio clips through Zoom. So when we play the Momentous Occasions, Brian drops them in afterwards in the audio, but live,
you guys don't know how to do share audio?
Yeah, it's like a LimeWire. Phone up to the microphone.
Yeah, it's like a LimeWire to a Zshare.
Yeah.
Then BitTorrent and then down.
We can do share audio, but it never comes up. There's some people it just doesn't play for. So we've had a lot of people that can't hear it. So we just
switched to Brian pressing play, holding the speaker of his phone up to the microphone.
Every company involved in this podcast is evaluated at like $500 million. We can't just
play our first call, Brian.
Hi, Jordan, Jesse, and guest. This is Craig calling from the middle of a lake in Quebec. I was listening to your podcast and you were talking about timing your orgasms to a Family Feud events, and I thought I would share my well-timed orgasm when I was in Cuba. Me and my lady friend were having sexual intercourse, and while I was receiving a blowjob, I orgasmed exactly when Joanna Cespedes hit a home run on the ball game. Anyway, get him, cut him.
I was 100% sure he was going to say that he came when Fidel died.
First of all, shout out to socialism for giving this man and his lady friend 6 weeks paid vacation to go to Cuba and spend time doing their own research and finding out for themselves and not being behind a wall of capitalist media.
My wife lived in Cuba for a little while. She said they have a lot of ice cream. Other kinds of food can sometimes be hard to get, but you can always get ice cream.
Listen, you can... Fully, I will sacrifice 20% of all other foodstuffs for more readily available
ice cream. That's the America socialists like Nick Adams want. And let's be frank, it sounds great.
I feel like we've kind of blown past something important, which is that, like, were we supposed to be talking about coming on the show for most of it? Because I don't think we even touched on it.
If we talk about what comes out of.
Depending on how, I mean, I don't know his orgasms specifically, but like.
We only talked about Bugs Bunny.
Yeah. I mean, that's the kind of orgasm we typically cover on this program. Sure, it's usually characters from Super Mario, but, you know.
We're trusting that the orgasm was momentous. Because otherwise, it was a frivolous call.
Do you think John Leguizamo and Bob Hoskins ever made out on the set of Super Mario? I think they probably did once or twice. Just because the outfits are so hot.
I have to imagine that was a stressful shoot.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that lends itself to them blowing off more steam.
Hoskins is like, I did the fucking rabbit thing, and now they want me to do this shit? I thought I was done with this crap. And then Leguizamo is like, I'm the new hot Latino comic. This is the thing that they, I don't know about this. I should be doing my 48 hours, my Beverly Hills Cop. I'll do the Mario and then I'll do 48.
I want an oral history of the making of the making of Mario Brothers. Cause I have no, it could really go either way. What they thought that project was going to do.
You can see either of them being like, no, we're going to win Oscars for this shit. People aren't ready for Mario. They're not ready for this. Like, I could see both of them fully being on board.
Emily, 100% that was a 7-part series on Grantland in 2014.
Yeah.
100% that already exists.
We all love the seminal film Mario Brothers. Wait, hold on. What do we say? 1,700 words later.
Do you think there was a point where, I mean, seminal film, talk about a seminal film. Do you think there was a point where John Leguizamo called his agent from the set and he just looked down at his overalls and said to his agent, from House of Buggin' to this?
Listen, if you walk, then Luis Guzman is there in like 20 minutes. Do you want that? Do you want that, John?
Let's take another call.
Hey, Jay and Joe and Sunny D. This is Steve from Pennsylvania, and you almost certainly don't remember this, but I called a couple years ago to say that my domestication was that I was starting TMS, or transcranial magnetic stimulation therapy, to try to cure my treatment-resistant depression. Went through all that and went through it again a second time. Unfortunately, didn't work. And so now my mental health professionals have decided it's time to step it up to another level. So today I started ketamine therapy. So basically I went and I sat in a very comfy chair, and I got an IV full of ketamine shot into me while a doctor watched the whole time as I tripped balls. Hopefully this is going to be the thing that finally does it. But I thought that it was pretty funny that I was, like watching exit signs and clocks like melt, as a medical procedure. Love you both. Your podcast has helped me get through a lot. Keep on doing what you do. Bye.
We love to magnetize heads on Jordan Jesse Go. Support it. 100%. Everybody who listens to Jordan Jesse Go has fucking paperclip stuck to their head. This is great. I support it. Good luck. Good luck in your mental health journey.
I want an update.
Absolutely.
God. Fucking Special K for medicine. They do that magnet thing for migraine headaches. My wife was just asking me if I had ever talked to my doctor about doing it for migraine headaches. I say do it, but I also I have an HMO. I got Kaiser. And they're not going to approve it. So I'm just going to go on Amazon and buy some of those rare earth magnets and just glue them to the inside of a hat and see how it goes. Yeah.
I know that these things probably work and have real scientific foundation, but it's hard not to just think about Jesse from Breaking Bad. Just being like, magnets!
I was going to say, Jesse, you should just, when you applied for this therapy, Kaiser's just going to send you the Insane Clown Posse gift of fucking magnets. How do those work?
Magnets, how do they work? To cure mental illness? Question mark.
Hi, I'm Violent J, and I think you should talk to your doctor about
Shaggy Two-Dope's really been through
some shit.
We had
a lot of fun with mental illness today, but I'm Violent J from Insane Clown Posse.
I'd like to see Violent J in the doctor's office being administered Faygo for his depression.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Yeah, if you a juggalo will take whatever, just put it in Faygo. You could just the vaccine, whatever. They'll put just like second Faygo.
Yeah. If you have a momentous occasion for us, 206-984-4FUN, or send us your voice memos at jjgo@maximumfun.org. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go.
Hey there, beautiful people. Did you hear that good, good news?
Something about the baby Jesus?
He's coming back!
Or do you mean the fact that Apple Podcasts has named Fanti one of the best shows of 2020?
I mean, we already knew that we was hot stuff, but a little external validation never hurts, okay?
Hosted by me, writer and journalist Jared Hill.
And me, the ebony enchantress myself, Javel Anderson.
Fanti is your home for complex conversations about the gray areas in our lives, the people, places, and things we're huge fans of, but got some anti-feelings toward.
You name it, we Fanti. Nobody's off limits.
Check us out every Thursday on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your slayworthy audio.
Are you ready to binge watch something old?
The Greatest Generation is a podcast about Star Trek by a couple of hosts a little bit embarrassed to even have a Star Trek podcast. Hosted by me, Ben Harrison.
And me, Adam Pranica. We get into the critical, the technical, the science fictional aspects of the show we love, while roasting it and each other at the same time.
We've completed an entire series about Star Trek The Next Generation, and another one about Star Trek Deep Space Nine, and we've just begun Star Trek Voyager. So now is a great time to start watching a new Star Trek series with us.
So subscribe to The Greatest Generation on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts, and become a friend of DeSoto today.
La, 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 la. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Head host and executive producer, Nick Repeat Adams.
And I've got a 3.5 out of 5 stars on WikiFeet. It's Emily Heller.
Listen, your feet are definitely 4-star feet.
Thank you. That's... I mean, not 5.
Well, I mean, listen, I haven't seen Margot Robbie's feet, but I'm just trying to leave room.
Wait, you haven't seen Margot Robbie's feet? Because they were in every frame of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
I haven't seen them. I'm the one guy who hasn't seen her feet. No, I'm just leaving room for, you know, I don't know what's out there. I'm not a foot guy. So I don't know.
That's
I'm assuming
fair, but thank
that there's
you.
Some kick-ass feet, but also assuming that yours are solid, solid, excellent feet with some room to improve.
Emily... In the break, you mentioned that you had worked on the television show Medical Police. Very funny spinoff of Children's Hospital. Very, yes. Very funny show, Medical Police. And I Googled Medical Police because I was like, oh, maybe they got a pickup. And that's why she was saying that. That would be great
did
if there
you
was
Google
more
it,
Medical
Jesse?
Police. I Googled it. I went, okay, I binged it. I binged it. Sorry, I said I Googled it, Jonah Ray. I binged it like you told me to, Jonah. I binged it, and there's like a picture came up that said Medical Police on it. It had a picture of the LA County Sheriff's Department Medical Services Bureau, which is one of the gangs. And... So there's a picture, there's like a little map window, and then underneath it, it has a red thing that says COVID-19, which is a pandemic that's affecting our country.
No, what and was it? How did you pronounce it?
It's called COVID-19. Okay. It's spelled exclamation mark COVID-19.
OMG.
It says, COVID-19, hours or services may vary. And now... Now, in retrospect, having spent some time with it, I think what that means is that whenever you search for a business in Bing, it tells you they might not be keeping their regular hours
because
they might be closed because of COVID regulations. Mm-hmm. But I immediately presumed that it meant that COVID-19 was keeping irregular hours.
Right. Yeah. You can't catch it after sunset, famously.
Just don't get COVID-19 wet. That's the one rule. If you drop COVID-19 into a swimming pool, it is nothing but trouble.
Don't feed it after midnight.
At this point, if you're a business, just like your hours should just be the shrug emoji. Like, listen, just fucking call us. Who knows? Just drive by. Just do a slow creep.
Why are you so afraid of getting on the phone in this day and age?
Have some human connection,
just give
okay?
Us a call.
Nick, Emily, it's been a joy to have you on the program. Emily Heller. He's the co-host of the Maximum Fun podcast, Baby Geniuses, along with Lisa Hanawalt. And it is, Baby Geniuses is such a joy and a delight. What a delightful program that is. If you're looking for fun like Jordan Jesse Go, but with more listeners sending in pictures of their butts, then Lisa and Emily's show is for you.
So we get to hear butts.
Yeah, you get to hear us describe
them. You like to hear butts.
Yeah, which is famously what you want. Out of a butt picture is just a description of it.
To see the
I mean, I think Howard Stern identified that and wrote it to hundreds of millions of dollars. So we joke.
I also
but.
Would genuinely like to plug the show Medical Police, which I worked on, which came out the beginning of 2020 when the idea of a global pandemic was just an interesting premise for a television show. And if you stick in there to episode 8, there's a sex scene that I wrote that was shot almost exactly as written.
Oh, that sex scene is so funny. My wife and I watched all of Medical Police right when it came out because it was just the perfect amount of short and funny. And it is a really funny program if, and again, we want to be clear, if you can handle a bunch of silly nonsense jokes about a global pandemic.
To be clear.
It was written before there was a real global pandemic. But if you can handle a show about a civilization-threatening virus... Then Medical Police is
and I wrote
for
a sex scene.
You. Nick Adams, do you just want to plug the featureless wall behind you except for the one comedy writing award that's behind your right shoulder?
Mad Villain. always and bum Matt shows. No, I'll plug season 3 of Central Park on Apple TV, which won't be out for like a year and a half. So suck it. Season 2 is on right now. I had nothing to do with that, so fuck that season. but just hold it. Don't watch any of it until season 3. That's when it really gets good.
Yeah. Now, you know what? Just watch 1 and 2. They're very funny. It's a very funny show.
It's a good show. It's a good show. It's a
very funny show. You're lucky to work on it, Nick.
I'm very fortunate to work on that show.
Yeah. Did you work at all on Medical Police?
I did not. I have yet to write a sex scene. So
missed no opportunity fucking, there. No Emily fucking. Worked on Medical Police. That's a very funny show.
Hilarious people over there on the police.
I guess you guys are both kind of successes, but kind of failures, huh?
I don't know.
That's how they keep you honest in comedy.
Do you see my dog ramp?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a dog ramp.
This is ultra one of four dog ramps I own.
And Emily's got Kaiser. She paid cash for that.
I have 2 children. They both have to climb up on their beds of their own volition, just like you know, Philistines. They have to just launch themselves up on their beds.
Here's what I say whenever my veterinarian asks me if I'm willing to pay for the procedure that my dog needs. I say, I'm rich and I'm never having children. Keep this dog alive.
Oh, my God. Listen, kids or pets? I don't care how many surgeries your dog needs. If you're making the right financial choice.
Your dog needs a kidney. Don't worry. My friend's kids have kidneys. I'll get one.
There's no dog in history that's ever gone to Vanderbilt University. Just FYI. So you're good.
But that would be a great movie.
All state schools.
PhD from Vanderbilt. Seriously? PhD?
The PhD stands for Pretty Happy Dog.
Yeah. I'm sending my dog Sissy to LA Trade Tech.
That's like ground beef at like Ralph's.
Okay. Man. Our theme music, Love You by The Free Design, courtesy of The Free Design and Light in the Attic Records. Our producer is Brian Sunny D. Fernandez, looking worried this week the entire time because he is intimidated by the terrible open source software OBS. Which really...
Orenthal Bowel Syndrome.
Yes. 100%. Why? Brian's got to get his gut biome in check so that he can live stream this show to Facebook. You can join us on Facebook at facebook.com/JordanJesseGo. We are on Twitter at Jordan_Morris, at Jesse Thorne, at Nick Adams Webb, at Mr. Emily Heller, M.R. Emily
Patriarchy
Heller. You can join us on Reddit at MaximumFun.reddit.com. If you have corrections for this week's program, tweet them at JD Power on Twitter. We will talk to you next time on Jordan Jesse Go.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Audience supported.